Well, Super Sunday. Some people call Super Bowl Sunday Super Sunday. That's when you gather around, you have food from all over the place. There's a lot of laughter and joy, and people talk about how they spent it last year and who was in the Super Bowl, and just carry on, have a lot of fun. For a couple of weeks, the media has special programming just devoted to the Super Bowl. There's heavy gambling. Hundreds of millions of dollars are made on T-shirts and hats. Our society thinks that that this is the biggest Sunday of the year, Super Bowl Sunday. But as Christians, we know that the first Super Sunday was when Jesus rose from the dead. That's the Super Sunday. That happened approximately 30 AD. The Son of God rose from the grave on that faithful Sunday, never to die again. Death no longer has mastery over Jesus because he has defeated it. Well, turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 20. This is where we're going to be looking at today. You can't have any Sunday better than the Resurrection Sunday. Even if your favorite team wins the Super Bowl, because the Super Sunday that Jesus rose from the dead has a profound meaning for our lives. It means that one day too, if we are found in Christ Jesus, we too will rise from the dead. Easter Sunday is the real Super Sunday celebration. Now, on the same day that Jesus rose from the dead, he visited the disciples in the upper room. That's what we're going to be looking at today. So this is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. That night, he came to bring them something that they longed for. What did he bring them? Let's see what he brought them. In John 20, 19 through 23. On the first evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you not forgive them, they are not forgiven." So I'm going to stop right there. And the first thing that we see today is Jesus came to give us peace. Jesus came to give peace. That's what he came to do. It's helpful to remember the kind of weekend the disciples had who followed Jesus. This is a man who they followed for the last 3 years, 3.5 years. This is the man they placed all their hopes in, and now he's gone. He's dead. Just like that, their lives have lost their meaning. Just think about what happened earlier that week. Thursday night, they are celebrating with Jesus the Passover feast. They're having a celebration together. And then Friday, they're grieving at the cross. Confused and crushed with grief, they stayed locked inside the upper room all weekend long. Imagine just staying inside the room, locked in, trying to sort out what took place. But today, they get a surprise. This is an emotional roller coaster for the disciples. Verse 19 says, this occurred on the first day of the week. The same day that Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus came and found his disciples cowering in the upper room with the doors locked. The disciples were confused. They were fearful. They were scared that the people who came to kill Jesus would also come and kill them. That's why they had the doors locked. A few days earlier, the disciples had left Jesus by himself because they were scared for their lives. The disciples were full of guilt for having left Jesus by himself. They were being held hostage because of their fears and their guilt. They were not locked into prison by the Jews. They weren't locked into prison, but they were locked in a room by their own making. They were locked in their room by their own guilt that they had. Jesus came with an important message for his disciples. The first words that the risen Lord spoke to them were, "Peace. Peace be with you. Peace." The phrase was a common Hebrew greeting, but Jesus intended it more than just a common greeting. We see that to let them know it was more than just a common greeting. He said it again. He said, "Peace be with you." He says it twice here. And he says it a third time when he sees Thomas in verse 26. Jesus was trying to make his message clear. The message was, "I have come back to bring you peace." The disciples' lives were anything but peaceful at this moment. They had external things that caused them to be scared. But worse than the external fears that they had from the Jews was the internal guilt that they had inside of them. They had no peace inside them because they all turned away from Jesus. Some of you may be able to identify with that. It's a horrible feeling not being able to have peace in your spirit, in your heart. They just couldn't forgive themselves for leaving Jesus by himself to die. They were held hostage by their past mistakes, by their past sins. But it all changed when they saw the risen Lord's hands and his side. Verse 20 says that the disciples were overjoyed. They were carrying around an overwhelming guilt. I have turned from my master. I am scum. I don't deserve to have any peace or feel good about myself. Maybe that's you. Maybe you have some things in your life you're like, "I don't deserve to have peace. There's been something I've done in my life that's given me the result is inability to feel true peace in my life." You have denied the Lord, just like the disciples. You have locked yourself up in your own room of guilt. Even though the risen Lord has shown himself to you, you still haven't worked up the courage to go unlock the door and be free. You have not accepted the peace that Jesus has come to give you. But man, if we have caught a glimpse of the risen Christ, the one who rose from the dead, you should be able to be like the disciples, then see that he has taken away our sin and he's taken away our guilt. That's what Jesus' resurrection means. He has conquered death. Why do we like to hang on to all of our guilt and our shame? Why do we hang on to that? I read one time that, did you know that when people have a limb amputated, they can still feel pain where that limb was? Say someone gets their leg amputated. They can still feel pain in that leg. Even though that leg is not there anymore, their brain receives an impulse telling them that the leg hurts. Their brain will not accept the fact that the leg is gone. It's called phantom pain. Even though it's not there, it still hurts. Well, as Christians, we can experience phantom pain as well. We have done things in the past that we are not proud of. We have painful memories. We have come to God and asked for his forgiveness for those things. And according to 1 John 1:9 says he is faithful and just and will forgive us of those things. God has forgiven us of those things that we have done, and he has amputated that sin out of us. It is gone. That it's gone from our lives. The sin is not there anymore. But our brains will not let go of our past. We still feel the hurt that our past has caused. Why do we feel that hurt when God has removed those sins from us? We are experiencing phantom sins. Sin that is not there, but still causes us pain. We need to be able to let that go. We need to stay focused on the risen Lord. Isaiah 26:3. Love this verse. It says, "To God, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." We have peace if our minds are focused on Jesus, if they're steadfast on Jesus. It's hard to have peace when we dwell on this world, when we dwell on our sins, when we dwell on all the things that we have done in the past, it's hard to have peace and victory over sin when we dwell on that. You know, how in the world can anything good come from the cross? As we go through life, it can be hard. We can see things like the cross and different things that happen. In our lives, we witness hopelessness and extreme challenges that we face, and we see no answer whatsoever to these things. We need to remember what Jesus told us in John 16:33. Jesus says, "I have told you these things so in me you may have peace." That word peace again. "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Remember that Jesus has conquered death. He has conquered everything in this world. Emptiness is replaced with life. Again, I ask, how can anything good come from the cross? This isolated event, the cross, this isolated event was one of the saddest in all of history. But when you finish the story with the resurrection, it is the most powerful, life-changing event in all of history. The disciples' world completely changed when they encountered the risen Christ. And today, you may be filled with hurts and pains, confusion and doubts because of things that are happening in the world today, things that are happening in your life. Well, your outlook, your entire outlook can change if you truly catch a glimpse of the resurrection of Jesus and how it changes our temporary circumstances. Let's move on to the second thing today. The second thing that we see here today is lay down your guilt. Lay down your guilt. This is for all of us here today. Even though the doors were locked and there was no way for anyone to enter, Jesus appeared in the room. Here they were, locked inside because of their fear, doubt, confusion, and guilt. And Jesus broke through all of that, and Jesus showed himself to the disciples. You notice that Jesus did not take chain cutters and cut the chain or unlock the door or break down the door. That source of the disciples' guilt was still there. But Jesus showed himself through that. It was up to the disciples to be set free from the guilt that they felt and go unlock the door. Jesus didn't go unlock the door. He gave the disciples a good reason to go unlock the door and step into freedom. Sometimes it's hard letting go of the bad things that we've done in the past. Think about, you know, you're probably thinking about some things that you've done in the past right now, and maybe it's hard to get rid of those. But put yourself in Peter's shoes. I'm sure Peter was retracing his steps of the last night of Jesus' life. All weekend long, he was probably thinking about that last night. The crowd came to arrest Jesus. Peter ran. Then later that night, he was asked three times if he knew Jesus. Three times, Peter says, "I don't know the man. I don't know him." He denied him. How horrible it must have been for Peter to relive those moments in his mind, to remember every detail of how he failed the Lord. He was in a prison of guilt. And again, I am sure there are people here today who are in the same situation that Peter and the other disciples found themselves in. You continue to rethink over and over again these times that you have denied Jesus in your life. But Jesus came back to let you know. Jesus came back and says, "Peace, I forgive you. I forgive you." He has forgiven you. You need to drop the guilt, the burden of your guilt. You need to drop that. Satan loves to lock you up in your guilt. That's what he wants to do. He wants to keep you locked up and keep you focused on your sin and your past and hold you to that. That's what he wants. He doesn't want you to see the risen Christ and how he has set you free and broken the chains in your life. The Apostle Paul talks about the peace that we have in the risen Lord. In Philippians 4:7, it says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Oh, how I want that kind of peace in my life. The peace in my heart that comes from knowing that God does not condemn me. God does not condemn you if you are in Christ Jesus. Today is the day you can be reassured that God does not want to hold the past over your heads. He wants to remove the guilt from you. If you are not in Christ Jesus, you still have that. You still have those sins. But when you come to Christ Jesus and ask for forgiveness and live in Him, He doesn't condemn us. Romans 8:1, great passage of Scripture. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say there's no condemnation for everyone in the world. It says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who have given their hearts and lives to Him. If we are found in Christ, we cannot be condemned because when God looks at us, He sees His Son. That's an unbelievable thing. He does not see our sins because the blood of Jesus has washed them away. Not covered them, washed them away. They are no longer there. A kind of a story that I think really represents this message is an email that I received longer ago. This email is a story of a little boy. He went to go visit his grandparents. And he went to go visit his grandparents, and his grandparents gave him a slingshot to play with out in the woods. So he went out in the woods, and he was playing with the slingshot, and he was slinging the shot and shooting the rocks, and he couldn't hit anything. I mean, he was way off target. Wasn't even close with the slingshot. So he decided after about a half hour, I'm done, and he was going back to the house, and all of a sudden, as he's going back to the house, he saw Grandma's pet duck. And out of instinct, he's like, oh, why not? And boom, he hit the pet duck. And it died. He was shocked and he was grieved. In panic, he hid the dead duck in the wood pile so Grandma wouldn't see it. Only he saw his sister watching him and what he did. Sally had seen it all, but she said nothing. So after lunch the next day, Grandma said, Sally, let's wash dishes. But Sally said, Grandma, Johnny said he wants to wash dishes. And she said, remember the duck. So Johnny washed the dishes. Later that day, Grandpa asked the children if they wanted to go fishing. Let's go fishing together. And Grandma said, no, Sally needs to stay behind and help with supper. And you know where that's going. Sally said, Johnny wants to help with supper. And she says, remember the duck. So Johnny stayed home and helped with make supper. After several days of Johnny doing his chores and all of Sally's chores, he finally couldn't stand it any longer. He went to his grandma, and he confessed that he had killed the duck. Grandma knelt beside him and gave him a big hug. She said, I know you did. I was standing at the window, and I saw the whole thing. But because I love you, I forgave you. I was just wondering how long you were going to let Sally make a slave of you. Well, think about that. Maybe we are being played like Johnny was. Satan wants to control our lives because he knows the things that we have done in the past. And whenever God wants us to do something in our lives, Satan whispers in our ear, remember the duck. Remember what you did. Remember what you did. He keeps you in slavery by your guilt. But today, God is reaching out to you with His nail-scarred hands, saying, I know the things that you have done. I know your past. I know these. I've seen it. But I love you. And I have already forgiven you. I have risen from the dead and have taken away the guilt of your sin. You just need to let go of that guilt. Living in the past is like trying to walk backwards everywhere you go. It will slow you down and you're bound to be tripped up. Forgiveness moves you forward. Some people believe that their sin is so bad that Jesus can't forgive them. They believe that they have sinned too much. Jesus can forgive everyone else's sins, but He can't forgive mine. Well, let me tell you today, the gospel of Jesus that can save everyone else, the blood of Jesus that can cleanse everyone else, can cleanse and save you as well. Know today that Jesus' blood can take away your sin. Yes, that sin that you're thinking about right now, He can take it away. He can take it away. Today we need to realize that the risen Lord has freed us from our sins that we have committed. And we need to stop reliving them. Jesus didn't leave the disciples in this room feeling guilty. Jesus didn't rise and go to heaven right away. Jesus rose and came back to His disciples and breathed peace into His disciples. He came to tell them, "I have risen from the dead to overcome sin. I have overcome all your sin." He tells us the same thing today. In John 8:36, Jesus says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." You are free. Why are we still locked up in our room of guilt like the disciples were? But we have to make the choice today, just like the disciples had a choice to make. We may be bound up with guilt in our lives, but today we can come face to face with the risen Lord. We are face to face with the risen Lord today. He has come to extend His peace to us. The question is, will you lay down your guilt? Will you lay that down before Him? Well, the application for today is Jesus came back to release us for ministry. He came back to release us for ministry. Jesus offered us peace. All we have to do is accept it. Jesus then wants us to go and do His work. He wants us to go and share peace with other people who need to hear about the work that the risen Christ has done. Jesus said in the last part of 21, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." That was Jesus' commission to us. "As the Father sent me, now I am sending you." The disciples couldn't complete their mission in a locked room. They couldn't minister to others because they were paralyzed with guilt. It was absolutely necessary for them to go and lock the door and receive the peace that God offered them. It's the same way with us. We cannot minister to other people when we're locked in our own room of guilt. Some of you here today might think to yourself, "I can't minister for Jesus because of my past. I denied Him by the way I live, so I can't be used for Him." I want you to stop and I want you to think about, what would have happened if the disciples would have said that? What if the disciples would have said, "You know what? Because we denied Him, we ran away from Him, we cannot minister to anybody." If the disciples would not have accepted Jesus' peace, the church would not be the church today. Nobody would have heard the life-changing message of Jesus because of the guilt that the disciples had. How devastating it would have been for you and for me if the disciples had remained in that room. And how devastating it's going to be for other people in this world if we remain in our room of guilt. There will be many people in this world who will not hear about the peace that they could have in the risen Savior. Don't deprive people of something that could change their eternity just because Satan is trying to keep you in a prison from which Jesus came to set you free from. You know, I'm thankful that throughout the generations, many people spread the Word of God. Because if some of those people wouldn't have shared the message, if they wouldn't have shared the gospel with others, my grandparents or great-grandparents might not have heard the message and been saved. And it would not have been passed on to me. I may not have heard about what Jesus did for me if there were certain people who would not have told my family about what Jesus done. There will be many people in this world after us who will not hear about Jesus if we are not faithful and to share the message of what the risen Christ has done for us. Jesus wants us to go and do His work, all of us. And the great thing is, He has given us the power to do it. Verse 22, "And with that He breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" He gave the disciples the Holy Spirit to do the work that He called them to do. Disciples could not change the world by their own skill. Nor can we change the world with our own efforts. Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. The breath of God symbolizes life. In Genesis 1, God formed man out of dust. He formed man, but they were still dead until He breathed life into their nostrils. It was that breath that gave them life. Same way in Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel was surrounded by a valley of dry, lifeless bones. He prophesied and all the bones came together, but the problem was there's still no life until a breath of life went into them. God breathed and they lived. The breath of God symbolizes life. Without God breathing on us and releasing His Holy Spirit in us, our ministries are dead without the Holy Spirit. They are just shells. Jesus desires to give us His peace and the power of His Spirit to minister. But many people are scared to live out the Great Commission. They don't think that they are smart enough or have the skills to do it. But notice what Jesus didn't tell the disciples. Jesus didn't say, "Go, I hope it all works out well for you." No, He didn't say that. No, Jesus goes out with them by the power of the Holy Spirit. In our own efforts, we would fall short of doing anything of eternal value. But He has given us the power to do things that that we can't do on our own. Peter, think about Peter. Peter didn't have what it took to make the lame man walk. It's what Jesus could do through the Holy Spirit through Peter that the man could walk. The Apostle Paul didn't have the power to drive out demons, but when he called on the name of Jesus, the demons were casted out. The apostles did not have the right words to draw people to the Lord, but when they were led by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, and shared and obediently opened their mouths, people came to a saving faith of Jesus Christ. Acts 2:41 says, "Those who accepted His message was baptized, and about 3,000 people were added to their number that day." That was when Peter preached at Pentecost. Peter was not a trained speaker who wore a three-piece suit and everyone respected him in the community. He was an ordinary fisherman who stuck his foot in his mouth more than other people, saying things that he should never say. Yet when Peter opened up his mouth and let the Lord speak through him, 3,000 people came to know the Lord and were saved. I would love to have that kind of testimony. People came to faith because I was willing to open my mouth and let the Holy Spirit speak through me. You don't have to be a preacher. You just need to let the Holy Spirit use your tongue to share. What makes the Acts of the Apostles so extraordinary was that they trusted in the name of Jesus and made themselves available moment by moment for the Lord to use them. Jesus did what He needed to do by dying upon the cross to make salvation possible for those who would believe. Now He has commissioned us to go and do His work. The risen Savior's last words before going to heaven is the Great Commission. Matthew 28:18-20. Last thing He said was, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" You notice in the Great Commission, the disciples didn't come to Jesus It was Jesus going to the disciples. The disciples didn't come and say, hey, we want to go do this and do this and do this and do this. Jesus went to them and said, go into all the world and share. Every person needs to hear of this great salvation that's available to him. It's foolishness for anybody to walk in the dark when there's light available for them. I would consider Luke 19:10 to be a mission statement for Jesus. It says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. I don't know about you, but I am so glad that he desired to save me enough that he sought me out. Jesus sought me out. I was lost. You were lost. But there was no price that he wouldn't have paid for you and me. And I want everybody to see that today. There was not a price that he wouldn't pay for you. He was tortured and he hung on the cross for 6 hours. He hung there and took the mocking and the ridicule. He took it for you. He took your sins upon him. He showed his love for us to show his desire for you to be with him for all eternity. And we can't be with him for all eternity unless we accept him into our hearts and our lives. Maybe there are some here today who are lost. You don't need to be. You don't need to be lost. God loves you so much that he's willing to take your sins and bear your punishment. You can be forgiven today and walk in a relationship with him by putting your trust in him. I'm so thankful that God, that he came to save sinners, because all of us are sinners. All of us deserve hell, but he gives us heaven. Without him coming, none of us would have a chance of going to heaven. But with him coming, all of us, it's open for all of us to receive him. At this time, I'm going to ask Kathy and the praise team to come forward and lead us in our closing song. We're going to sing, Because He Lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Nothing is too overwhelming because I know that Jesus lives and has overcome everything, including death itself. So leave here today, dwelling not on your sins, not on your failures, not on your past, but on the fact that your Savior lives and he can handle anything that the world throws at you. So come to him and know him and receive him and walk in him today. Let's stand and let's sing Because He Lives.